the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. Hey, cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting the chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, let's go.
Listen, we've been waiting for this day.
It's draft time.
We've been waiting for this day.
The pick is on its way here.
Yeah, the pick, yeah. We should say the stick is in. Like, are they actually bringing one of them boards and walking up and putting a sticker on the board?
Sticker.
If you're going to do it in person, that's what you should do.
Absolutely.
Have a sticker board. Be dorks. Let's get into this.
And those are always fun where, you know, you make the pick and you got to watch the guy half in the bag go over and fumble through. You know, seventh round, it's like, what color are the running backs? Purple, dummy.
Well, it's dramatic because you're like, I know who my guy is that I want. And then they go over there and they pick up the green stickers and I'm like, oh, damn it, he's going tight end. I wanted Kittle.
Yeah.
And then you wait, and they look, and then they still, oh, wait, he went McBride, whatever it is.
The worst part is when the guy goes over and he has to hand write it on the sticker because your pick is so bad that they didn't even print out a guy, you know, for that sticker.
Right. Can Jacory Kroski Merritt fit on a sticker? Can we fit that name on there?
Just Bill and four letters across.
Anyway, so what we're talking about is that we right now are originating from Splash at Thrive City, the wonderful sports bar restaurant establishment right outside Chase Center. And we are about to do it here in a couple hours with a handful of our listeners. Jody in San Jose, who won the contest that we did all last week, will be here. There'll be a fantasy draft happening from 4 to 6 during our show, and we'll have a whole lot of fun with that. Maybe bring you somehow out of that a little prep for your drafts that I'm no doubt are coming up over Labor Day weekend and whatnot. But also, pinned behind all of that is the fact that it is roster cutdown day. And so a lot of news has come in. We do have a final 49er roster. It has some eyebrow raisers, but it also very clearly has some things on it that tell you it's actually not a final roster.
Right.
And I know everybody's looking at the wide receiver room, but this is kind of where wide receivers and punters, for example, get married. Thomas Morstead is the Niners punter. He got released today.
Oh, boy.
So the Niners don't have a punter. Now, Thomas went to Twitter about an hour ago and wrote one word with dashes in between each letter. One word. The word was, it was very reminiscent of Aaron Rodgers, relax.
Yeah.
R-E-L-A-X. Relax. His way of saying, don't worry, I'm coming back. But they cut him right now because they're not ready to fully figure out what's happening at other spots. And once they do designate people for IR or, for instance, figure out what's going on with Juwan Jennings, then they can bring Thomas Morstead back. It's a way of buying a little bit more time. And I do think it's largely about Juwan as they continue to try to hammer this thing out.
It's not only Juwan, and you're right about hammering that part of it out, but it's also, at this point, when you think about cut down day, there are about 1,200 players who are no longer on teams.
Yep.
And so you go through the waiver process. Some guys don't have to be subject to waivers, like Morstead, more than 4 years in the league. He doesn't have to go through waivers. He gets released, and he can pick any team that he wants to pick, including the team that just cut him.
Right.
So right now, all those players and all their agents, they're all making calls, and teams are scrambling to figure out if there's a guy who sprung free who's better than your 52 or 53rd man. And you also cut guys that you're hoping will be able to fall down to your practice squad that won't be attracted by other teams, and then you can bring them on to your practice squad. So after all that shakes out, And the biggest one you mentioned is Juwan Jennings. But you get through this initial 2-3 day shakeout period, then you look at your roster again and say, all right, this guy's going to go to IR. We'll bring back our punter. Or maybe you take one of your receivers and you make a trade.
Well, I mean, they've got 5 receivers right now on the active roster, and we already know for sure that 2 of them aren't available week 1. We know that for sure. That's Jordan Watkins and Jacob Cowing. That leaves the team with only 3 healthy wide receivers, and I use the word healthy without education on it because technically Juwan Jennings has not fully been cleared as healthy. Your only 2 healthy wide receivers for sure are Ricky Pearsall and Sky Moore, and as we learned last week, Sky Moore can't catch. So
wow,
that leaves the Niners in a precarious situation, .. but maybe not. Like, so here's kind of how I see this going, but I think it, like, fun conversation now that we know this. Robinson suspended. Ayuk is on the PUP list. Watkins not quite healthy yet. Cowing likely headed for IR. That leaves Moore, Pearsall, and Jennings, with Jennings being a question mark. What would you like to see the 49ers do to get this thing across the finish line and ready for week 1? And the more I've thought about this and the more I watch the way they're playing this, I realize, and not that we haven't been saying this all along, the Niners have even more leverage than I thought they did. They, like, it's rising. It's rising quickly. We're getting close to the season, and the 49ers, all of their fail-safe options for Jennings, Russell Gage, Robbie Chosen, Niners kicked them all to the curb.
Yeah.
And so what they're telling you is one of 2 things. Either they feel a lot better than we realize about the Jennings situation, or they do have eyes for a Marquez Valdez-Scantling or a Hunter Renfro who got cut by the Panthers today, or a Deontay Johnson, who's only 2 years removed from being a WR1 in this league for the Steelers. So I don't know what it is they're going to do, but they've got options. They've got options. Juwan does not. He has 1.
Right.
He has 1, and that's figure it out. Get your shoes on
and play football.
And come play football.
Yeah, and that's right. And when you think about Russell Gage, is a good example where he gets just released today. I think he's got more than the 4 years, and so he can, you know, get a whisper, we're going to put you on the practice squad, but by the time we get ready for the first game Sunday, you're going to be elevated because we have 3 healthy guys. So there could be some of that. I noticed that Kendrick Bourne actually got kept by New England on their PUP list, so he is being kept by New England. He's a guy that Matt Barrows yesterday had mentioned as somebody who the Niners might eyeball, but he's not going to be free. Robbie Chosen's another one where, fine, you're released, but he knows their situation, and he may wind up just staying here, or he'll get a better offer and go somewhere else. So this 53-man is about 44 of the actual 53. More moves are still going to come before the first game.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. But I'd love to see this still involve Juwan. But the one thing that I don't like that happens today is, to a degree, whatever situation is going on with him kind of got kicked down the road, and I don't see there being any more time. Like, to me, we've watched players in the past do the whole, like, sign the week of week 1.
Right.
And it doesn't work. They're not ready to play. And so they either have to have a lowered number of snaps, or they go out and perform poorly and potentially get hurt. Nick Bosa, Brandon Ayuk last year. I think there's a big difference. It's still not ideal, but there's a big difference between Juwan practicing just next week and practicing both this week and next week. If I'm the Niners, I want this thing with Jennings figured out by tomorrow morning. And
right,
either he's going to be at practice, or I'm going to probably go look to putting him either on IR or figure out a situation where I go pick up somebody else. Because they do have reinforcements coming once the season gets started.
They do, and that's why I think that they've already put a contingency plan in place, whether it's Russell Gage or Robbie Chosen. Trent Taylor's another guy who they cut. Tariq Owens is a guy they cut who you'll want to put him on the practice squad. There are a number of receivers just in your own camp who you had to cut that you still still may be able to retain, in case of emergency, break glass. And if you get through today and you get into tomorrow and still no resolution for Jennings, then you get to Thursday and it's the same thing. Well, by then you should have an idea of who you're going to keep on your practice squad. And then you get to Friday and even Saturday where you're starting to get ready to install the game plan for Sunday. Well, now is where you make real drastic moves of either, hey, look, you know, Juwan, you're physically unable to perform. You haven't been at practice, so we're gonna pop you for 4 weeks, or you come in and play. So I do think there's a little bit more time. I'm with you on tomorrow. That would be ideal. I do think you can get all the way till Saturday, maybe Sunday, before you have to start figuring out, all right, game week, who are our guys we're going to go with?
A couple other things out there outside the wide receiver room, like Yetur Gross-Matos was activated off of the PUP list, which tells me, I don't know about week one, but he's going to be ready soon. They're feeling good about his health, and it goes back to the conversation you and I had yesterday. When I look at this group, sure, there's the Jennings question mark, and then there's questions like Dominic Pooney and maybe Upton Stout, but after a full month of everyone freaking out about health, I'm looking at a board that suggests to me, actually, this group could really be kind of full bore and ready to go by September 7th. There's no doubt.
Yeah, especially when you look at the key 22, your starting 11, your other starting 11, and you know your punter is likely going to come back, and your kicker is one we can talk more about, whether or not he'll be ready mentally, physically. He seems ready to go, but the key guys, your O-line, your D-line, your skill position guys outside of Juwan Jennings, you're almost complete as you would hope it to be.
And then, a little bit later on in the show, I decided today to borrow a page from you.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I did a little bit of a deep dive.
Deep dive, Willard?
Yeah, it does
not. Stealing my bit,
it
Lucas.
It does not have the same
hell?
Ring, but I thought, because it's better for me to do this to you because you are the deep dive guy.
Oh, boy.
Because you are, no, you get into this stuff.
I do.
You like the roster and the X's and the O's. I'm much more like, did anyone make popcorn? Let's watch the game. Like, and you're like, but the, right, the third linebacker.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then but 22 personnel. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. Like, so I picked 5 players who are on the roster.
Okay.
And I want to play a game with you and Grandy and Lucas. I'm going to give you clues, and we'll see if you guys can come up with who the guy is.
Oh, boy, I love
this. And it'll help the audience get to know some of these players, because it's a new year. We got new people.
He used to throw footballs at Iowa State.
Yeah, that is, I don't think that made the list.
Okay.
But
I know that one.
We'll do some of that later. Charles Davis is on the show today.
Huge.
We love Charles, and I promise not to say that he's with Fox Sports.
Oh, boy.
I've done this the last 3 times I've had him on the show, and he hasn't been with Fox for years, and he gets mad every time.
Yeah.
So Charles Davis of CBS is going – is on CBS, right? Anyway, is going to join us at 3:15. We're sponsored by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. This Labor Day week, can be road trip ready with Valvoline Instant Oil Change. No appointment needed. Stay in your car while they change your oil, check your tires, battery, and fluids before you head down the coast or over the Golden Gate. Visit BayAreaOilChange.com. We are live at Splash at Thrive City, getting ready for one hell of an afternoon right here on Willard and Dibbs.
What are you asking exactly? I'm still confused by your question.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Another thing that I found kind of funny,
yeah,
about today on Twitter is that after Kyle Shanahan was like, "Yeah, we're not doing anything with the kickers, like we like Jake Moody," and then all the Niner reporters go on all the shows,
right,
and they're like, "Yeah, no, they're not gonna they're keeping Jake Moody," and then cutdown day comes. And every Niner reporter is like, oh, that kicker just got released. That kicker just got released. It's almost like we're being teased. They're like, you want that kicker? Do you want that kicker? I'm like, yes, I want all the kickers. But they're not going to make a move on it yet, even though there were some interesting names that were put out on the street. And I'm looking over your shoulder right now, and I see a piece of paper that's got a bunch of red chicken scratches on it.
That's actually good penmanship. I've come a long way.
Again, I'm looking looking at it from far, and so to me, it looks like chicken scratches, but it appears to be some sort of a kicking compilation sensation.
Yeah, it's all the kickers that got cut today.
And
there's a total of seven kickers who did not survive cut down day, and so, you know, I was thinking, would you rather have Jake Moody or the kickers on this list? And so when you start to run down, there's a guy named Lucas Havrisik. He was cut today. Braden Narveson.
Okay.
He's actually kicked in the league. McAdamney.
Why you gonna be doing that to my
Jude
guy?
Jude McAdamney attempted one field goal and one extra point for the New York Giants. He was a Gaelic football player from across the pond. Charlie Smythe was cut. Now here's some names you've actually heard of. Chad Ryland.
Okay, yep.
He's a guy who's kicked. Anders Carlson, cut by Green Bay.
Right, well,
a little bit of an off year last year.
And the year before that. Don't forget his miscues in the divisional round at Levi Stadium that left the door open for the 49ers rally in that game.
And the one name that is the sexiest of all is Dustin Hopkins, who...
Cleveland.
Yes, he's made 84% for his career, 10-year career. PATs, he's at 93.6. Really solid, but last year he was 18 for 27. So, do you want to go from a struggling Jake Moody to a 34-year-old guy on the struggle bus?
Because
Cleveland,
really.
Cleveland is going with a guy who's made as many field goals in his career as he has vowels in his name.
Okay. Who's that?
Zero is the answer. Andre Szmyt.
He has no vowels.
Szmyt.
Well, but
the
why?
Y is technically a Y.
Sometimes why? A-E-I-O-U and sometimes why?
And the Y only is a vowel if it follows an S-Z-M. Szmyt.
Yes, Szmyt.
So the Browns have chosen Szmyt over Dustin Hopkins.
Dude,
so
you just made a noise. That wasn't a name.
Now kicking Andre Szmyt. So, of all these guys who are free, and I know that Greg Joseph is still out there, ooh, the white whale, you'd rather have Moody at this point than any of these no-names.
Well, I'd actually agree with you, except for the one no-name that you left out. I got my eyes on somebody, Dibs, and you left him completely off of your list.
Not Szmyt?
Not Szmyt. No, this guy has actually multiple vowels in his last name.
Oh.
He is a young man named Lenny Krieg. Lenny Krieg. And the Falcons the Falcons just waived him today because they've got Young Weku, but this is somebody that they are interested in keeping on the practice squad. They're hoping he makes his way through waivers. Apparently there is something called the International Player Pathway. Have you heard of this before?
No, but I do know that he's German.
Okay, yeah, he's German. Exactly. And the International Player Pathway brought him to the Falcons. They loved what he did in camp. They put him out there in a preseason game, and Dibs, he hit one from 57.
Wow.
He nailed
one. Sounds like Jake Moody.
So he hit one from 57. They like him. He had a great camp. I'd almost rather that. Like, I know you're not going to do that now, especially with someone that you haven't had eyes on in this specific camp.
Especially when he's really struggled with accuracy with the Stuttgart Surge.
He did?
Yeah. He struggled in Stuttgart.
He did?
19 of 26 on field goal attempts in Stuttgart.
Well,
and that's a kicker-friendly league.
No, the weather's crazy over there. I don't even know. Like, you're reading AI right now.
11 of 16. AI is never wrong when it comes to German kickers.
I mean, anyway, point
Anyhow.
Being...
Anyhow.
I'm not talking specifically about this guy. I'm talking more about someone like him. Like, to me, if there is an exciting young leg somewhere, kind of unproven... that's what I'd be looking for if I'm the 49ers to probably practice squad somebody so that somebody's right there in the building if this thing goes awry, because we've seen it before, and that's why I think so many people have an issue with the whole third-round draft pick thing. There are really good kickers in this league who've come from nothing. They came out of nowhere, and they can kick 55-yarders with regularity, and people just found them as undrafted and on the street.
Yeah, Brandon Aubrey.
Aubrey in Dallas, the latest example. So, I don't know. I guess my issue with the kicker thing is not even so much where Jake Moody's at right now, as much as the 49ers do not appear to have an open mind.
I think their mind is very open.
Maybe it is, but and I get it. They don't want to say publicly, yeah, dude is on his last leg, but
pun intended.
When you come out of that last preseason game and immediately start talking about, well, we're going to see what Jake does into the season, not like week one, into the season. It makes people uncomfortable, and it makes people think that you're trying to legitimize your pick from a couple of years ago.
There is that, and I do think that that is the case with a lot of different positions. It's not only that way with the kicker, and you can look at other guys who they held on to, and they tried to make it work, and eventually you got to cut ties with them. And the kicker is an interesting one because it's a necessary evil, and Jake Moody has a big leg. He's a guy who has hit from beyond 50. What, he hit 250 plus in the Super Bowl just a couple years ago. Yep. So he hasn't been patently all bad. So I think he's earned the right to go out there and regain the job and maintain the job. And if not, it's not a who's who out there. Chad Ryland actually has had decent numbers through a couple of years. So there are other options, sort of, but you're going to give Jake Moody the first right of refusal to make mistakes.
Quick piece of breaking news from the San Francisco Giants in that closer Randy Rodriguez has been placed on the 15-day injured list with a right elbow strain, and they have recalled Keaton Wynn from AAA Sacramento. So Randy Rodriguez, as the Cubs come to town, is on the injured list, and the Giants, I assume that they would go back to Ryan Walker as their closer for right now.
Why not? I mean, he looked good the other day when they actually won a couple games against Milwaukee.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this was the worry about giving Randy Rodriguez the closer role. Was like, is he, right? He doesn't pitch on back-to-back days very often. Is he going to hold up? And he's already on the injured list. So whatever, you know, you can put that in your back pocket. But the Giants will go kind of closerless with the Chicago Cubs coming to town.
Just real quick on baseball, Bryce Eldridge, is it, I mean, are you hearing any whispers about a September call-up? I know it's not like it used to be where everybody got called up.
I'm not yet, but... Okay. But the further they kind of fall down in this thing, it is a possibility because he has been doing really, I mean, he's hitting a lot of home runs.
Yeah. A lot of strikeouts,
for sure. But, you know, you're bringing him up not to, like, play high leverage games. You'd be bringing him up to let him get a little taste of what a major league curveball looks like.
Yeah, and that's so the value in that. So
yeah, no doubt. All right. Anyway, back to the Niners. 888-957-9570. I do think the question of the day is really to kind of ask people what exactly is the way that people want the Jennings thing to play out. Because one thing I know about fans, because we've seen it every offseason, and the fans are not in charge, we're not in charge, I get that. But when these things start getting down to the nitty-gritty, when we start getting through the preseason and things are still completely in limbo, people want to give up. People want to go, you know what, trade this dude. And obviously, this is not trade season in the NFL. I think we've kind of been through that, even though, you know, you saw a lot last week, but now rosters are set. You could see more, but I really kind of doubt it, but the frustrations are going to boil. I saw earlier this morning reports that there has not been movement between the Niners and Jennings, and both sides are starting to get ticked off. And now we're officially at the spot where I worry that there is simply no good resolution, because even a resolution leads to now a player who is not of the right health, both mind and body. They're not going to be ready for the season. Things are not going to go well. So we're getting damn close to where, if I'm the Niners, I at least for the first few weeks of the season, I'm starting to think about other options.
Well, you've already been thinking about other options because he's not been available. And if the negotiations are close, it sure doesn't feel that way from the outside. And, you know, the roster moves that they made today, they indicate one of two things. Either, you know, they feel good about him being ready for week one, or they think that they can send a couple of guys off to the street, reclaim them in the practice squad process, and then throw them right in, whether it's Gage or Robbie Chosen. Even Trent Taylor, a veteran who, when you cut him, he doesn't have to go through waivers. So these guys are all available if you need them to go on the practice squad and then get elevated from there. So I think your first best choice would be, yeah, he's going to be ready. He signs, he practices, the calf is better, and he plays, but if this thing drags out, I do think week two, you still need him. Week three, you still need him. You get to week four, and DeMarcus Robinson comes back, and you got Pearsall, and, you know, who knows who else will emerge. Yeah. I do think that your need for Juwan is greater now than it will be later in the year.
Well, I think the thing that we're not even thinking about, it's like we sit here and look at this situation through the moment, and the moment is that, well, Ricky Pearsall can play, and Sky Moore can play, and they'll have some other people up for the game for sure. They'll have five receivers up for the game, but like, dude, this is a game in Seattle. What happens if one or two receivers goes out and gets hurt in that game? You have to be ready for situations. And that's why I am just completely out on the idea of the 49ers going into next week and still having this as a big question mark. To me, starting tomorrow morning, I need to know who is very likely going to be on my week one roster and start getting ready for that football game. I do not want conversations and Instagram posts and walking through stadiums with popcorn bags. Like, this is not what we're doing. There's a week, there's a game in a week and a half.
Right. And unfortunately, it's not the way it works. And, you know, you talked about this on how it happens all the time in the NFL. And you're right. I don't necessarily like it as a fan. And as an owner of a team, I would like it even less because you sign a guy to a deal. He plays well, outperforms his contract. Now he wants more money. That's, you know, what if he would have underperformed his contract? Could you go to him and say, you know what, we're going to cut your salary?
They do it all
the time.
You
just cut him, send him out.
They just did it to Kyle Juszczyk.
You can't just give the guy, you know.
They just did.
That Juszczyk had to come back and re-sign because only about eight teams use fullback. So that's a different situation.
They asked him to take a pay cut. He said no. He got cut. Then he changed his mind.
Like, and he came back because he wanted to have a job.
Right. So we have a situation here, and then each of us gets to decide who you want to blame. I know that the way you're looking at it, you put more of the blame on Juwan. That's not what I'm saying. I don't blame Juwan for bringing it to this spot. I blame both sides for bringing it to this spot, and now we've arrived at a bad spot. And that's why I blame both sides. Yeah. This is not good for Juwan. It's not good for the 49ers. .. It's bad for us. It's bad for all of us who root for the 49ers. This is not the situation that they should be in. And they didn't need to be in this situation. And I say that with one caveat of not knowing what Juwan is asking for.
Right.
But then again, they've known about this for weeks. And if Juwan is asking for something crazy and they really believe that he was dug in, then yes, you could have traded him. You could have done all kinds of different things to get ready for this moment. But now we're arriving at Pants Downville. That's where we're arriving.
Well, for whom?
I mean, for all of us.
Maybe not for the Niners. If they feel like they have receivers that they can use in the short term and they can play and be close to what Juwan Jennings can be. Juwan's got a calf injury.
But they don't have
Matt Barrow said that to us yesterday. He believes that he does have,
I mean,
he still has an injury.
He did.
He said it to us yesterday.
Right, because they haven't been told otherwise, and he's a reporter, and he doesn't want to
Yeah, I believe it. Yeah, I believe what he's saying.
I don't. I think Juwan is completely healthy, or else we would, like, there's no way Kyle Shanahan would have said 3 days ago that we definitely expect him for week one, and it should be healed by then.
Right, and, you know, as of right now, I would not expect him to be there week one, and let's just say he doesn't play week one because the calf or the cash or whatever it is, and the Niners go out, and whether it's Gage or Chosen or whoever it is, they step up. Sky Moore, six catches, no drops, and
I mean,
you go out and you beat Seattle 28-20.
Sure.
All of a sudden, if you're Juwan, you're thinking, uh-oh, they went out and won with these guys without me?
I don't, that's why I do not see this. That's not an option for Juwan. Juwan cannot sit out games if he's truly hurt, which I do not believe. But if he has truly got a calf injury that Kyle Shanahan was comfortable 3 days ago saying he definitely should be ready for week one, and he's truly not, and it's truly because of health, then he should be on IR because something is really, really wrong.
Right.
But I don't believe that. I don't think that's what this is about. I believe it's about all of these other things, and that's why, to me, the responsibility lies with everyone because it is your responsibility to have your roster ready to go by week one. It's his responsibility. It's your responsibility. You had options of how to handle this. And so I know this is a much smaller scale than what we've seen the last couple of off seasons, but here we are again.
Well, it's equally impactful. impactful. Forget the scale.
Totally.
Like, he's as important as Ayuk was last year, in my opinion, partly because of how he blocks and also because you do run a lot of two-receiver sets. And so if you go two receivers right now, you're going with Pearsall and Sky Moore? Is that really what we're doing with one?
I would argue that in a very small sample, I don't mean this from a large standpoint, but I mean just where we are right now versus where we were last August, Juwan Jennings is more important to the start of this year than Brandon Ayuk was to the start of last year.
Without a doubt.
I think he's more, no doubt. Like, they had other receivers they could turn to last year.
Even though you didn't have Ricky at the beginning, you did have Deebo Samuel.
You had people. You had people you could put out on the field. They literally don't have people they can put on the field.
Right. You've got Juwan, who's got a contract or a calf. You've got Pearsall, sure, he's going to be great. Sky Moore, you mentioned it, he has a hard time catching the football.
Well, even if he didn't, he just got here, too.
Cowing has been hurt, and Watkins may be a guy who shifts to IR if he's not able to. Maybe he's not able to play till week two or week three, which is why they're not making that move. But you may get to a spot where you have to say to Watkins, look, the Jennings thing's not happening, and we need a body. You're not ready for week one. We're going to have to do this and bring somebody up from the practice squad.
Well, the problem with that is you only have so many IR designated to return slots year long.
Yeah, good point.
You only have a couple of those. If you use them right out of the gate, you could really end up in a bad spot. So, I mean, that's my – like right now, if I asked you this, how would you answer it? Let's say the Jennings thing's not ready to go for whatever reason by the time the Seahawks game is here. When the Niners go three wide, name the names.
No, I can't. You can't make me.
I can.
You can't, and I won't answer that. You don't have to answer that. I want the truth.
No, you do. You have to answer that.
Well, it would be Juwan Jennings. Oh, nah, never mind. Ricky Pearsall, sure. Sky Moore, and fingers crossed, Jacob Cowing.
Jacob Cowing, there's no chance he's ready by then. They've already announced that he's out 6 weeks.
6 weeks?
Four to 6 weeks.
He's going to get put on
the list. Going to IR. Watkins, I don't think, is, because he could be ready by week two.
Yeah, you got no DeMarcus Robinson. Right. You've got no Ayuk. It's going to have to be somebody that you were able to resurrect off your practice squad.
Right, and you need backups behind them, too.
No doubt.
Like, they need, essentially, right now what we know, the Niners need three wide receivers by September 7th. That currently are either question marks or not on the roster.
Yeah, and that's counting Juwan Jennings as not being currently available.
They've got Sky Moore and Ricky Pearsall.
That's it.
That's it.
End of list. Yeah, and you've got a bunch of guys who will be on the practice squad, and you know you're going to be in a situation where you may be limited in what you do offensively, and you're going to see a lot of the two tight ends, a lot of the Kyle Juszczyk, and the two running backs. And you know what you might also see, Mark, now that you got me thinking X's and O's? You might see Brian Robinson and Christian McCaffrey on the field together.
Of course.
Which the Niners don't do that almost ever.
I definitely think that's in the plans this year.
You put McCaffrey out of the slot
and
have him play receiver.
Put him in motion, yeah. Yeah, there are ways to do it. I'm sure Kyle Shanahan, I don't think he, you know, like Steiny was saying earlier, like, it doesn't matter who I got. I don't think he thinks that, but I do think he thinks there are ways to attack troubling situations.
Yeah.
There are offensive sets that I can put together that will at least give us a shot to go out there and move the ball. 888-957-957 is the number. We're live at Splash at Thrive City, getting ready for Jody and San Jose's fantasy draft, which is coming an hour away, winning our contest last week. And we always love being here for whatever reason.
Oh,
but
yeah,
this is especially fun. But we'll take your calls on all things going Niner roster set. The Juwan Jennings situation is not. Let's go to Trevor in Rohnert Park. Hey, Trevor, thanks for calling.
Hey, what's up, guys? Just one thing I wanted to mention, because you guys are sponsored by Laughing Monk, that there was a really awesome collaboration between Laughing Monk and Old Jazz Brewery out here. If you didn't know about it, it was awesome. So maybe they'll do it another time. The Juwan Jennings thing, I think this is just drawing a line in the sand for the Niners. I think it's a player trying to hold the Niners hostage. There's a way about going about negotiating. And when the first thing that comes out is publicly you say, pay me or trade me when your contract's not even up. I think if the Niners keep getting bullied, they're just seeing no end to it. So they got bullied last year with the negotiations, with Ayuk. And it's happening again. And I think to a certain extent, the Niners are like, hey, enough is enough. We're not going to negotiate like this. So I feel like that's part of it.
Do you know what my question is for all you guys? Trevor, this is for you, Dibs, everybody who's listening. I want to know why it triggers everybody so much when somebody asks for something contractually when they still have a deal. Do you all realize that that's how it is every time? Nobody ever holds out when they don't have a deal. That's called being a free agent. You just go sign wherever you want. So every single contractual argument that's happened in the history of the NFL comes when somebody has a deal. And I don't hear so many people say in all of those situations, hey, dude, you signed a deal. Get your butt into camp and get ready for a game. Nobody says it to Trey Hendrickson. Nobody says it to Micah Parsons. Nobody says it to any of those people. This is no different than any of those situations. Why does that bother some people so much? Trevor's gone.
Yeah,
okay.
Trevor's gone. It's first of all, he's not Trey Hendrickson and he's not Micah Parsons.
No, he's Juwan Jennings.
Right, and he had a nice year. And every time that this happens, it irks me in similar fashion. Like Brandon Ayuk, you had his fifth year option, mm-hmm. basically, because he was a first round pick. And so you have the right to do whatever you want. And the team has the right to say, no, we don't want to do this. And then the player can either play or not play. It's just the ongoing push pull of a guy who's making money. He signed a deal last year. This is not his rookie deal. This is why this one's a little different for me, because you just signed a 2-year deal and you got $15 million, you got a ton of signing bonus, and you balled out. And so now you come back the next year and you want more? Just rubs me the wrong way.
I mean, rookie deal has also got Penn on it. Like, why do they not have to? Why are they not stuck to those?
They are stuck to those, but if, like, you do well, then the team, a lot of times the team's going to want to reward you, like with Nick Bosa. You're clearly one of the best in football. We want to reward you because you've become one of the highest paid. You're going to be one of the highest paid guys, and you want to keep him, so you sign him then. If you don't sign him, that player is going to leave in free agency.
Right. Well, right.
So there's a little of that proactivity with the big boys, and I don't think Juwan Jennings is in that category.
No, but everybody is in their own category, and we've seen it at all levels. I want to dig into that a little bit further, and Charles Davis will join us in 20 minutes. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Hanging out at Splash at Thrive City. It's Withered and Dibs.